For years, if you asked anyone how to make an AI smarter, the answer was always the same: make it bigger.
Just add more data.
Exactly. Intelligence was basically just knowledge. You had to memorize the entire internet, and that meant using computing power that could fill, football fields.
We're all living in the age of the cloud LLM, the large language model.
And the bigger your brain, the better.
That was the consensus right up until 2026. And to be honest, that whole approach just hit a wall, or maybe collided with two huge physical barriers that forced the entire industry into a really rapid reversal.
Okay, let's unpack that, because the sources we're diving into today, they paint a picture of a massive re-architecture of computing.
They really do.
So our mission here is to analyze this pivot away from those giant remote cloud LLMs and toward what everyone is now calling SLMs, small language models.
Punchy, specialized, and living right on your device, your phone, your laptop.
It's sort of the small is beautiful philosophy, but for silicon.
And it was a necessary move, a strategic one.
I think the main analogy in the source material is the perfect way in for you, the listener. It makes the whole thing instantly clear. So, the giant LLMs, the GPT-4s of the world, they are like the Library of Congress.
Right. Massive, slow to navigate, and you need permission to get in.
And that permission is a constant internet connection.
Then the new SLMs, they're the specialized field handbooks.
Right.
They don't have every piece of trivia ever, but they're compact, incredibly fast, and always there for you, whether you're in a subway tunnel or on a plane.
So this deep dive is going to get into why this shift happened and how it solves really the three biggest headaches of early AI: that frustrating latency, the crazy energy use, and of course, the privacy fears.
Exactly. This isn't just a tech upgrade. It's about redefining where intelligence actually lives, making it local, private, and genuinely useful, not just awe-inspiring.
All right, let's start with the big idea at the heart of this, because it really challenges that old notion that size equals
It
smarts.
does.
The sources all stress that in 2026, intelligence isn't judged by how much you know, but by how quickly and reliably you can do a specific thing.
It's the utility standard. We're seeing models now with only, what, 3 billion parameters?
A number that would have been laughed at a few years ago.
Totally. But that tiny model, it isn't trying to be a global encyclopedia. It might know nothing about 17th century French poetry, but for its job, summarizing your emails, debugging some Python code, it is faster and more accurate than a massive cloud model ever was for those specific tasks.
So if they're not memorizing the whole internet, how are they getting so efficient? What's in their training diet now?
This is the secret sauce. The industry realized that feeding models the entire noisy internet was counterproductive.
Right, the web is full of junk.
Full of contradictions, errors, just garbage data. And that noise is what caused all those hallucinations and the weird behavior we saw in the early LLMs.
So instead of the noisy internet, they use what?
They now train these compact models on what's called textbook quality synthetic data. It's highly curated,
So perfect data.
perfectly structured, verified, and focused only on the domain the model needs to master. I mean, think of it like learning surgery by reading 10,000 random forum posts versus studying one perfect authoritative medical textbook.
But wait a second. If you're only training them on this perfect sterile synthetic data, aren't you risking creating models that can't handle the real world? The messy way you and I actually talk.
That's a great point, and the sources do address it. The SLM isn't meant to replace the LLM entirely. It's purpose-built. It has enough context to handle real inputs, but its training keeps it grounded. The result is a model that's often 10 times smaller, but it's punchier, way faster, and much more hallucination-free for its specific job.
It's precision over brute force.
Exactly.
And that new definition of intelligence, it was really driven by necessity. The old cloud model just wasn't scalable. So let's talk about barrier number one, the speed limit, latency.
We've all been there. You ask your phone something and you just get that spinning wheel.
That 3-second delay.
Yeah. And that wait, no matter how short, it just kills the feeling of it being instant. It feels dumb.
And that's not just bad code. That's literally the speed of light. Your query is being sent hundreds of miles to a server and then has to bounce back.
It creates these huge points of failure. The sources call cloud AI a brick if you're in a subway tunnel or on a plane.
Because the brain is somewhere else entirely.
It just stops working. I think everyone has had that moment staring at the subway ceiling, realizing their super smart AI is suddenly useless.
On-device AI just gets rid of that completely. The brain is right there on the silicon. Speed becomes a feature.
And that need for speed leads right to the second, even bigger problem, the energy cliff.
This one is staggering.
It's a huge environmental and financial issue. The sources show that by 2025, AI data centers were on track to consume more electricity than entire mid-sized countries.
That's just unsustainable. How do you scale a technology for billions of people if it needs that much power?
Well, you can't. So the only answer was to shift the load. And that's what led to this idea of green AI.
So instead of these huge, centralized, power-hungry data centers,
you move the processing to the edge, to the billions of user devices we already have in our hands.
We distribute the cost. So instead of a giant power plant in Virginia paying the bill for every single query,
your device's battery pays the bill.
Which makes sense.
Exactly. Every time your local SLM summarizes an email, that action is sustainable because the power draw is tiny and localized. It wasn't just idealism. It was the only economic way to scale AI globally.
Okay, so if necessity is the mother of invention, then these two barriers, latency and energy, they didn't just need new software, they needed new silicon.
Absolutely. Software is nothing without the right hardware to run it on.
And that's where the NPU comes in.
The neural processing unit. In 2026, the NPU is just as important as the CPU in defining what a device can do. It's the new metric of power.
We used to just run this stuff on CPUs and GPUs, but they weren't very good at it. Why is the NPU so much more efficient?
Well, it's designed from the ground up to do one thing really, really well. The complex matrix mathematics of transformers.
Which is the core architecture for AI.
Right. All that math is where the intelligence actually lives. An NPU can do thousands of those calculations at the same time, in parallel, using very little power. A CPU is built for sequential tasks, so it just chokes on that kind of workload.
And all the big tech giants are pouring resources into this. Chips like the Snapdragon 8 Gen 5 or Apple's A19 Pro are dedicating huge amounts of die space just for these neural units.
And this focus created a whole new standard overnight, the AI PC.
Right, the laptops with the dedicated Copilot keys.
That's part of it. But more importantly, there's a new minimum spec, and it's measured in TOPS.
Trillions of operations per second.
Mm-hmm. And here's the critical threshold from the sources. If a device in 2026 can't perform at least 45 TOPS locally, it's basically obsolete for modern AI.
45?
Yeah.
Why that specific number?
Because that's what it takes to run the OS's background AI, the model that's always aware of your context, while also running a heavy user task, like live translation during a video call, without any lag or killing your battery. It's the baseline for a truly always-on AI experience.
So we had the physical barriers of speed and energy, but maybe the biggest driver that wasn't technical was just fear. Corporate and personal security fears.
Right. When you ask a cloud AI to do something, you're accepting an inherent risk. You're trusting a third party.
Exactly. Say you ask a cloud AI, analyze this confidential PDF of our Q3 strategy. You are literally uploading that secret document to someone else's server.
It's a corporate security nightmare. Compliance officers just couldn't sign off on that.
So how does the on-device model fix that?
It fundamentally changes the security model.
Yeah.
The SLM lives inside the phone's secure enclave.
Which is a dedicated, isolated, encrypted part of the chip.
Yes, that's key. The model processes that confidential PDF and writes the summary right there on your device. The data never leaves.
Give me a stronger metaphor. What's the secure enclave, really?
Think of it like a digital vault, a physically separate room inside the main chip. Even if a hacker compromises the main operating system, they still can't get the keys or the data inside that vault. It's physically walled off.
And this local processing, it enables features that would have been, frankly, dystopian if they were cloud-based. The sources talk about systems like Total Recall or AI Rewind.
Mm-hmm. The OS basically records and indexes everything you see on your screen so you can search your own past.
Now, if that stream of data, your bank logins, your private chats, was being sent to a remote server, that's a privacy disaster.
The ultimate disaster. But because it's all processed locally on that encrypted chip and it never leaves your control, it suddenly becomes this incredibly powerful productivity tool.
Which proves the point.
Right. In 2026, privacy isn't a policy you click agree to. It's a hardware architecture. It's built into the silicon.
This shift has happened so fast that we already have clear market leaders. Let's run through the titans of tiny.
The market's moving quick. You've got Google's Gemini Nano 3, which is optimized for Android, everything from the Pixel 10 to mid-range Samsungs. That's what's powering Magic Compose and the real-time call screening.
And then there's the one that really proved the whole quality over quantity idea first.
Microsoft's Phi 4. That series showed reasoning that could actually rival the much, much larger GPT 3.5 model. It's the brain behind the local features in Windows 12.
You also have a European player in the mix.
Mistral Edge, they're the open source champion. They provide these super efficient small models that developers can just embed in their own products, which means startups don't have to pay massive API fees to the big cloud providers.
And of course, you can't forget Apple Intelligence.
Their whole strategy is built on a local model, somewhere around 3 to 7 billion parameters. It runs silently, just understanding your personal context, who your mom is, what that email was about, traffic to the gym, all without ever hitting the internet.
This has created what the sources are calling a developer's golden age.
For sure. Frameworks like CoreML and TensorFlow Lite let developers take these models and quantize them.
Let's quickly clarify that term. Quantization. What is that exactly?
It's basically extreme compression. The original model might use 16-bit precision, but you can shrink that down to 4-bit. It's like taking a huge raw photo and turning it into a perfect JPEG. You keep the core intelligence, but the file size just plummets.
And the benefit for the user is huge. Apps like photo editors or writing assistants now work perfectly in airplane mode.
And it kills subscription fatigue. The developer has no server costs, and the intelligence is already paid for when you buy the hardware.
But this brings us to the big question. Does this mean the massive cloud LLMs are dead?
No, absolutely not. The sources are very clear. The future is hybrid. You still need a GPT-5 or a Gemini Ultra for deep world knowledge. The key is orchestration.
And the operating system becomes the conductor.
Exactly. The OS is an AI traffic controller. It balances speed, privacy, and power. If you ask a simple task like set an alarm for 7 a.m.,
Local SLM handles it. It's cheap, fast, and private.
but if you ask something really complex like plan a 7-day Kyoto itinerary based on 17th century history,
the local model knows it's out of its depth.
right? It seamlessly hands that query off to the cloud LLM, gets the answer back, and presents it to you. It's the best of both worlds.
What really stands out to me is this move from the era of awe, the magic chatbot, to an era of pure utility.
AI is now just this invisible layer painted over everything, which makes it way more democratic, private, and sustainable.
The whole metric for what makes a device powerful has changed.
It's not about CPU clock speed anymore. It's about the IQ of its NTU, how well it can process intelligence locally.
And crucially, that intelligence is now yours. You own your AI. It sits on your device. You're not just a guest on someone else's server farm.
And that brings us to the final thought we want to leave you with. This hybrid model, it gives us a choice. We've seen all the benefits of local AI, the speed, the privacy, but the cloud still has the most raw power for the deepest questions. So the question for you is that offline privacy and instant response a deal breaker? Or do you still prefer the raw power of the cloud for those really complex queries? It really makes you rethink how you use your devices every day.